This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, and unfortunately, the Caps season has ended, and that really, really sucks. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. The season is over. The playoff hopes are over. The Stanley Cup has once again not been acquired by the Washington Capitals. And the Caps were taken out by those pesky Penguins from Pittsburgh once again. And I feel as if you could just listen to last year's show around the same time of year, and we will be pretty much saying the exact same stuff. But joining me, as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you feeling?
I'm doing all right. I don't know. I guess I'm, being a DC fan, I'm sort of numb to all of this at this point. At least you in Baltimore, you have the Ravens sometimes.
Sometimes, but and you know what's really funny in Baltimore, just a little off topic here, we have the Baltimore Blast, which is an indoor soccer team. They are the only team to consistently win in Baltimore, and no one cares.
I've been to one of their games. They're fun.
Yeah, they're fun, and that's like what you do when you get like free tickets, when you win them at like a charity event. Like, okay, I'll go and check them out, and then you're like, oh, this is nice, and then no one else cares. But let's stick to the Caps. This year was supposed to be different, just like every other year we say that at the end of the year. This was the end of the two-year window that Brian McClellan put out there. And once again, here we are at the end of the second round, and the Caps aren't moving on. What went wrong, Coach? Because President's Trophy winners, they had a couple great games in this series. They had a couple great games in Toronto. It really felt like these guys had moved past all of this. What went wrong?
I keep saying, and I still believe it, there's something mentally off with this team. And part of me thinks that it's the coaching staff, in the sense that they're unable to push these guys to where they really should be and are able to do more. But we've seen this team consistently get into itself into tough spots. And we really thought that this actually was a turning point when they made that comeback in game five. And you're like, oh, maybe they've finally decided to, I don't know, man up seems hard, but just to be able to take the pressure and run with it. And then last night, for the first 10 minutes of the game, you were like, yeah, they're dominating. Like, this is going exactly how they wanted it to go. They're going to be, they got to get a goal in the first 10 minutes, if not a couple, because they had, the puck was in the Penguins zone most of that time.
Well, not just last night, because I will be honest,
in game six, they dominated.
I was at a Metallica concert, so I did not see game seven, but that's how confident I was in this team. I felt okay to go to this, this concert, because I'm like, yeah, potentially I could have 14 more games to watch. Not just in the Caps dominating the Pens and staying in the Pen zone the last game, it's been like that the entire series. The majority of these games have been spent in the Penguins zone.
They outshot them every game.
Yeah. Yeah. So like the only stat that the Penguins were able to beat the Capitals, unfortunately, was the amount of goals that was made, because the Capitals did everything else right, at least on paper.
No, I mean, it was interesting what Backstrom said last night after the game, in the sense that the Capitals lost the game in the first, or lost the series in the first few games. And I understand that, like, they had every opportunity to come back and win this series, and they definitely should have. I mean, they could have had, two or three goals by the end of the first period. They should have had two or three goals by the end of the first period last night. But the way they played throughout the first four games was unacceptable. Even the one they won, they barely won it. I mean, they had every opportunity to blow that game as well, and they could have been done in four. It could have been a sweep. And they were able to come back, and you got everybody's hopes up. Like, oh, maybe these guys have finally turned a corner. And it wasn't the case. After 10 minutes last night, I remember maybe halfway through the second, I started thinking, this feels like just some random Wednesday night game in December. Like, it doesn't feel like a game seven in the second round of the playoffs.
And that ticks me off because as a fan,
the players even said afterwards that they were like, they didn't put enough effort into it. I was like, what were you doing then?
So I like what you said earlier about this being a mental thing. And, as a fan, I'm just angry at this team at this point. I was angry with them when they were in Toronto and they lost back-to-back games. I'm angry at them now. I'm annoyed more than anything. Yes, I'm upset that they're not going to raise the Stanley Cup. But Ovechkin, after Game 7, came out and said, we had no urgency. There was none of it.
How is that possible?
That's what I want to ask you, because it is Game 7, the second round, and you've been here before against the same foe. How is there no urgency?
And against the same team that is clearly struggling from a player's perspective. I mean, no Letang, no Daly last night, no Carl Hagelin. Some other dude was out. I forget who it was.
And Fleury, remember, even though Fleury is a Hall of Famer, he was the backup.
Whoa,
heading in.
Settle down.
Come on. He's a great goalie.
He's a fantastic goalie. Hall of Famer. Let's not go a little nuts.
But he was the backup heading up until about a month ago. He hadn't seen real ice time in a long time. So this guy was not even like prepared to be a part of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And here he is dominating and beating the Capitals.
No, it's not good. I mean, I know people don't want to hear it, but a lot of this I feel like comes back on the coaching staff, and that the team was not mentally prepared, and that comes back on the people behind the scenes. That comes back on the coaching staff, that their job is to prepare these adults to be able to handle that kind of pressure, and they didn't do it. And we saw that Trotz was getting out coached in the first. But now, given that's against Babcock, and that guy, I mean, talk about Hall of Famers, like that guy's a world-renowned, one of the best coaches in the league. But Trotz didn't prepare this team for this game, and it felt like, yes, splitting up the first line and putting Ovechkin on the third line spreads out the wealth in terms of goal scoring, but it didn't work. Not for the third line. And all we heard is that how this, you know, the bottom six was going to be so much better this season. It was going to be like what the Penguins had and what the Flyers had and what the Islanders had. It wasn't the case at all. I mean, one of their bottom six members got scratched and they played with seven defensemen. That's a problem.
That's a very big problem. And to fix the bottom six, they brought in Brett Connolly, like you just said, and he got scratched completely in the last couple games. They brought in Lars Eller. He was kind of non-existent throughout the playoffs. Moving Ovechkin down to the third line, a lot of people were saying, you know, I can't believe they did that. How can they do that? Yada, yada, yada. But I kind of like the fact that they were spreading out the wealth a little bit, and it obviously worked. Gave Aaron Burakovsky – Aaron. That's not his name.
It's better than when Pierre called him by his dad's name, and I forget which guy. I don't think it was the last time. It might have been game six when he called him Robert Burakovsky. And I was sitting on the couch watching the game. I hear that both my fiance and I were like, wait, what? Who? Like, I had to go to my phone. I was like, I think that's his dad. And it wasn't like he corrected himself. Like, Pierre just kept going with it. Like, nope, that's his name.
It's not a Penguin. He doesn't care. But Andrei Burakovsky got a little bit of a boost in his confidence. We saw that in Game 5. Ovechkin did all right in Game 5. He kind of didn't do well afterwards. We hear now that he had a lower body injury that he was working through. However, you just brought up how bad the Penguins were beat up and how many guys were missing. So for Ovi to be hurt, I don't really think of that as an excuse for why his production had gone down. But
well, there's people that are wondering if it had to do with the Kadri hit. And I mean, there's reports out of Russia as to why he isn't playing in the World Juniors. Maybe winning that one. In the whatever the hell they're doing over there, the Worlds. But they're saying it's a hamstring and knee, potentially.
So that could be something, but I like what you're saying about being a mental issue, because I feel as if the Penguins didn't beat the Capitals. I feel as if the Capitals beat the Capitals. When they came out against Toronto, they were the President's Trophy winners. They knew the pressure was on, and they even came out and said, you know, we came out and we were a little We were outplayed, and we were worried about that happening, and we got inside our own heads, and bad things happened. That is a fact. The Capitals came out and said that. Braden Holtby looked terrible in one of the games against the Penguins, where it was like 6-2 or something like that. He got pulled. He said he talked to his sports psychologist, and that set him right. I agree with you.
He showed up the rest of the way.
He did. He absolutely did. But he was fantastic.
If this team had played well in the first four freaking games, then right now you and I are having a conversation about going up against Ottawa.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you there. But you brought up the coaching staff not getting these guys mentally ready. Does that mean Barry Trotz is gone? Because Barry Trotz is a wonderful coach. He is an amazing human being. I like him a lot. But obviously, his style of coaching is not clicking with this team. There's so much talent on this team, and they still, second year in a row now, can't put anything away, can't get out of the second round. Is Barry Trotz the problem? Should he be let go?
I don't know. I mean, I've been going back and forth, and if they lost to Toronto, it's an easy yes.
Sure.
And I feel like if they got blown out by the Penguins in four games or five games, it's also an easy yes. Now, I'm a little hesitant. I think if you – and it's probably not good business to do it this way, but if you know you have a chance to bring in Daryl Sutter, yes. Okay. Then you let Trotz go and you bring in Sutter, because Sutter is a guy that will push these guys to play the way he wants no matter what. And if you don't like it, your butt is sitting on the bench or up in the press box. And I think that's what they need. They need a guy who's going to come in and he's going to dominate in terms of telling them how they need to play. And he's proven. This guy's won multiple cups with the LA Kings. He's proven to be able to take a team that is not the best in the league necessarily. I mean, I believe LA, one of their more recent cups, one of their two?
Two.
I want to say. Was as the eighth seed.
Mm.
And they go into the playoffs and they just, you know, they got hot at the right time with a goalie and Jonathan Quick and guys that are playing exceptionally well. So I don't know. I mean, I like Trotz. I don't necessarily like the idea of consistent change, which doesn't sound like me since I enjoy the offseason so much in terms of player movements and things like that. So I always find it weird you call me Coach Dan when I'm more like a general manager. But I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised is the way I would put it. Nah. If I was in his position, I look at the guys that are available and I would think long and hard about it in terms of, is he the guy that's going to be able to push this team forward? Because it's 2 years in a row. Best team in the league in the regular season. Can't get it done in the playoffs.
Now, let's just say hypothetically, Barry Trotz is let go. Hypothetically. He brought in Mitch Korn. And Mitch Korn came with Barry Trotz from Nashville. If you let Barry Trotz go, it's more than likely the Capitals will lose Mitch Korn. And he's really the guy who found Braden Holtby's style and found Braden Holtby's voice and how he would be heard as a hockey player, made him one of the best goaltenders in the league. If you remember, before Barry Trotz got here, Braden Holtby was scratched for the majority of the games of the season before that. Because
that's because Oates was a moron.
100% yes, but he was scratching Holtby for Nuvi and for Grubauer. So if you lose Barry Trotz, you're probably going to lose Mitch Korn. What would that do to the team without both of them?
I mean, the thing is, Holtby was on that trajectory before Oates came in and messed everything up. So that isn't necessarily taking credit away from Mitch Korn, who I thought was a phenomenal pickup in terms of coaching and has definitely done a ton for Holtby. But we've seen he left Nashville, and Pekka Rinne is still one of the best goalies in the league, so it's not necessarily the end of the world. They just have to go in and find another goalie coach that is also talented.
All right, so here's another thing a lot of people are talking about. Ready for this one, guys. Put your seatbelts on.
Oh, God, here we go. Okay.
Is it a coaching problem, or is it a captain problem?
Shut up.
No, I'm serious. There's a lot of talk.
So am I.
There's a lot of talk in the fan base, in the news media.
There is every freaking year when they get knocked out of the playoffs.
Every year, but Alex Ovechkin is one of the greatest hockey players, a Hall of Famer, ever to play the game. He has amazing stats. Everything he can do by himself, he has done. However, to be a great hockey player and to be a memorable hockey player, you have to make the team around you better. And Alex Ovechkin has not done that in his entire tenure in Washington. Is that the reason why they keep getting stuck in the second round? Alex Ovechkin gets to the playoffs, he gets shut down, he's got multiple people on him, and all his talent goes away, and you see the team fade with him. Is Alex Ovechkin the problem on this team?
No. I thought you were going to keep going, so I have a chance to get his stats quicker in the playoffs.
His stats are...
Brandon, keep rambling.
His stats are
great. His stats are good.
Yeah, they're great. However...
I almost dropped an F-bomb. Where the hell is the rest of the team? He cannot do it by himself. It's getting mad. Holy crap, he's played 97 playoff games. In 97 playoff games, he has 90 points. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Look at this. 46 goals, 44 assists. All right, so the guy is producing. Where the hell is the rest of the guys in EDP producing? Connolly, scratched. Eller, not scoring goals. It wasn't bad, not scoring goals. We can talk about faceoffs in a minute because what the hell happened there in the Toronto and most of the Penguins series?
This JB was one job.
Burakovsky wasn't doing dick until he got put up on the first line, which is another point that maybe Burakovsky's been playing on the wrong line this entire time. Wilson, only guy to put pucks in the net, and did he score it all in the Penguins series?
I think that was all in Toronto.
Yeah, okay, so where'd he go? Winnick didn't do. Beagle didn't do. It's the guys around them that aren't doing anything. Johansson stepped up. I didn't even know about his finger until you brought it up, by the way.
Yeah, for those of you out there who don't know, Marcus Johansson.
I had no idea.
Was playing with a broken finger in the last series.
Which finger?
The middle one. That's what I feel as if he should be hurting.
Not sure where you're going with that one. For these playoffs, Ovechkin, 13 games, 8 points. You know, he was a -4, but he's also playing on like one leg. Which, you know, yes, you would like to him to be a point per game player in the playoffs, but I don't know how much you can honestly expect that. But then, where the hell were the rest of the guys? No one outside of the top six was stepping up.
Fractured finger for Johansson, by the way. That's from RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com, in case anyone's wondering.
So, no, it's not Ovechkin. He's not the problem. You need guys around him that are also going to step up and score goals. I don't know what Trotz – I get that Trotz was trying to spread the wealth in terms of moving Ovechkin down, but I don't think that was the right move. I think you put him with two line mates that weren't doing anything for him. I think Wilson was trying to get too fancy. There's so many times where they're trying to make these like fancy little or slick behind-the-back, no-look passes, and the Penguins are just eating those up. They just plugged up the holes. They found out what the Caps' game plan was, and they kept turning it over and going the other way. And instead of just buckling down and grinding a game out, they're trying to be super fancy, and it's not going to work. We saw what happened in Game 6 when the Capitals just beat them up.
They're
a bigger team. They played along the boards. They used their body, and they were able to go out and dominate the play. Because they held most of the possession because the Penguins couldn't move the puck very well because the Capitals are constantly in their face. You did not see that last night. Not after the first 10 minutes. First 10 minutes, you saw that a lot. Now, to go back to your original point, Ovechkin is not the freaking problem. But because he's the biggest name and he's a star and he demands the attention, people are going to go after him. But he's not the problem. Yes, the argument can be made that if you trade Ovechkin, you get a whole lot of pieces. Or you get potentially two very good players with the amount of cap space that you're then giving up. When you get rid of Ovechkin, you free up like $9.5 million. What the hell is this cap thing? 9.5 and a bunch of other numbers. But I don't think he's the problem. When his cap hit went down a little bit.
I don't think he's the problem. However, his shine for me is kind of wearing off a little bit. The numbers you're bringing up, everything, I completely agree. He's one of the greatest hockey players in the world. However, I'm starting to get the feeling that he doesn't make the team better.
What?
I'm just saying, as the team, as like a whole, he doesn't make the team better. He makes his own stat sheet better, but I don't feel as if like the talent rubs off on players he's on the same line
with. This season, 82 games, he had more assists than points.
Okay.
You can only do so much when your other guys on your line are getting opportunities and they're not scoring. That's not on you. That's on them. He's not a setup man. He's not Crosby. He's not going to go out there and look to make other players look better with fantastic passing. He's the guy that you pass to. to score goals. That's why Backstrom has so many points. I mean, it's one of the reasons. If you put him on a line with the other two, you know, fantastic players, he'll also be doing the same thing, because Backstrom by himself is a likely Hall of Famer.
Sure.
But
Hall of Fame is
Ovechkin
big.
Is a goal scorer. That's what he needs to be doing. That's what he was doing for the most part. And it's what no one else on the team outside of the top six was able to do.
Is he too one-dimensional, though? Yes, he's a goal scorer, but you and I know that, and every other player in the NHL knows that. That's why he gets shut down in the playoffs every year. Everybody knows
the
OV spot.
Which is why other guys need to – well, he's not even getting shut down because he's still scoring goals. But that's why other guys need to step up, because when you are focusing so much – on one player, it opens up space. It opens up ice for other guys. And the other guys have to take advantage. And you saw guys like Johansson taking advantage. You saw Wilson in the first series, or in the beginning of the Toronto series, taking advantage. And when Ovechkin's on the ice, on that third line, he's going to get his opportunities, or the other team is going to be crowding him so much that it should have opened space for Wilson and Eller, and they didn't take advantage. And this is not like – I'm not being an Ovechkin apologist or whatever, because, yes, there are parts that he should have played better, but it wasn't him. It's not his fault.
Right. And, I mean, I'm just doing this. It's good to have this conversation to kind of get our opinions out there. I'm a big fan of Ovi's, but like I said, the shine, he's kind of losing a little bit for me, because this is every year. Every single year we get this far, I'm a fan. They get this far, and then it just kind of ends. And this is hard on them, too. Like, I completely understand the heartbreak. I mean, there was a tweet out there that said that Nick Backstrom was in tears walking his dad.
I saw that, too.
Yeah.
Walking his dad?
He was with his dad. He was, like, walking his dad down the hallway.
He took his dad out for a walk?
His dad's really old. You know, he's got to guide him places. That's how it works.
Backstrom's like 29. His dad can't be that old.
But you know, I'm just intrigued of what'll happen with Ovi. I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think we have anything to worry about there. But to get that this far, and this is before Barry Trotz, I mean, this problem has been consistent with Alex Ovechkin in the postseason, just being able to get this far. I understand people asking the question, is it Ovechkin? Because it has happened in almost every season with him on this team.
Yeah, it happened all the time before he was on the damn team.
It's true.
It's not like when Ovechkin came on, suddenly Caps couldn't beat the Penguins. I was there in 96? I think 96, when they went up 2-0 in Pittsburgh on the Penguins and then lost 4 straight. I was at game 3. I was there when Bondra and Jágr and those guys were up 2-0 on Tampa coming home from Florida and then lost that series in 6 games, 7 games. Like, it's not, this is not, well, that was, no, that was before the Ovechkin era. So this is not an Ovechkin era thing. Like, this has gone on for a long time and it continuously happens. And it's not a DC thing, but dear God, it kind of is. It's the curse of the DC sports. But it's just something about this team right now. But it's also, these guys are, I think it's harder to make the comparison to the old teams, just because, I mean, the Capitals, they had very good teams, but they were not as good as the Penguins and the players that they were able to bring together. But this is a Caps team that should be better. But they're not getting production. I mean, if you look at when McPhee was in charge, he put so much on these big name guys and he really did not have good players. We liked them a lot, but they were not players that you would see necessarily on a team that was going to win the cup. This year, it really did seem that way. I mean, they went out and they got the best player they could, best player I think anybody got at the trading deadline in Kevin Shattenkirk, and that wasn't enough.
And let's talk about this Barry Trotz, Brian McClellan era.
I don't like using that word era. You can give me whatever one, I don't care. But because eras make it sound like so much longer, and this is what we see. Teams go through, you know, 3-4 year shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And after that time, that core stays the same. You saw this in Chicago. You've seen it in Pittsburgh. You've seen it in L.A. for a little while. where you have these guys that come in and they surround the core and they're good players. And once they cost too much money, you send them out and you replace them with young guys or veterans at the end of their career that cost less. And now we're going through that now where the Capitals have to jettison some of the guys that are the surrounding pieces, keep their core together, and then, you know, replace them with younger players. So we're going to see young guys like Vrana, like Barber, and potentially Walker and Boyd, and maybe even Bowie and Juice next season, that or Lewington as well, that may have a chance to come up and make a name for themselves in the NHL. And that's what good teams do.
And let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about who is a restricted free agent, who is an unrestricted free agent this coming offseason, because there is a very good chance that we have seen a few players play their last game in a red Capitals sweater.
There's a whole bunch.
Yes, because I've been saying it all season. We know TJ Oshie's out there.
No, hold on. That's the one guy that the Capitals look like they may want to hang on to.
I would like to keep TJ Oshie, but I don't know how you afford him. I don't.
Well, here's a couple of things. I actually was just talking on Twitter with a couple of people about this from Capitals Outsider.
Twitter, by the way, that you actually had an article ready to go?
I haven't written it yet. I'll probably end up writing it tomorrow. I have an idea, and I've had it for like a week or so, but I didn't want to write it until they were knocked out of the playoffs. And I was really hoping, because it's not about them being knocked out of the playoffs. It's about the offseason and how this is so different than last offseason, because part of this was in the article. I had this idea before I saw the piece written by Isabel Kershudian for the Washington Post today, which she had a great piece about how the offseason for the Capitals. So if you have a chance and you haven't used up your free limit of articles you can read in the Washington Post, you should go check it out. But last year, it was like two guys that were unrestricted free agents or restricted free agents the Capitals had to sign. That was it. Now, on this current team, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's like 12 guys that are restricted or unrestricted free agents. There's currently 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 forwards that are signed for next season. They have a contract at the moment. 4 defensemen, including Taylor Chorney, but, you know, whatever. And Braden Holtby. That's it. That's currently on the roster for next season.
A team photo Everybody day is going to be real easy. You're going to need, like, you know, just a smartphone for that team.
Yeah, I mean, you're nice. You're not going to have necessarily the same team next season. So we don't know what the cap is going to be next season, I think, yet.
And here's another thing to just
– it's probably going to go up by a million or two. That's not going to be enough. But – all right, go ahead. What were you going to say? Then we'll go on to the particulars.
So with the Shattenkirk trade that came earlier this year, with a couple other trades, I think it's the Winnick-Brooks Lake trade, the Capitals have to think about the draft coming up because they don't have a pick until round 3 of this year's draft.
Four. I thought it was 4.
Was it round 4? I thought it was round 3.
Wait, hang on, I'm looking.
But
first round pick traded away in February. Traded February at the deadline. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, so the first round pick was part of the Shattenkirk deal. Second round pick was part of, where did it go? The Lars Eller deal. Which honestly, I wouldn't be against them necessarily trading him. And the third round pick was part of the deal for Mike Weber last year.
Jeez, no.
So they don't have a pick until the fourth round. Next year, they don't have a second round pick at the moment.
So potentially, they need to make some trades to get some draft picks for this.
Well, who are you going to trade?
I mean,
you trade the rights, but that's going to be late picks. And this is where the general manager and his scouts come into play, because you can't only get NHL players from the first round or two. You've got to find these guys in the fourth, fifth, sixth, and even seventh round that are going to come in and play for your team and be productive. Not just fill a jersey and a body spot and a place in the lineup.
And usually we don't see people from the draft for a couple years, but still, you got to build up your team, because that's how, you know, you can do these rebuilding years like we're going to see in the next couple months. But all right, let's talk about who's restricted, unrestricted free agents now. You said there's about 12 guys. Who are these guys that will be potentially gone?
All right, we're going to start with the forwards. TJ Oshie. I think he's the one that I'm going to mention Of the unrestricted free agents. We'll start with the unrestricted.
So he's unrestricted. So was it July 1?
July 1, anyone can have the right to negotiate with him.
Okay.
And I think I wouldn't be surprised actually if the Caps realize that they're not going to have a chance to sign him, they trade his rights.
Really? Okay.
I don't think it's necessarily going to happen. I think that they're going to make a strong push to try and bring him back. But I also feel like I think they could trade his rights because they need draft picks. It'll be like, you know, fifth, sixth, maybe seventh round pick.
Right.
But I think that's always an option. Mm-hmm. Teams do that more and more now. So I definitely think that's probably an option. All right. Next one, Justin Williams. He's gone.
I think he's gone as well.
I just don't
he was non-existent in Game 7, Mr. Game 7, from what I understand.
That's not why I would say he's gone. Can't hold his nickname that he didn't create against him.
Yeah.
No, I think he's gone because he's 35. They need a cap space.
Okay.
If he wants to come back for half of the 3.25, I'm willing to have the conversation. Theoretically, if you bring Oshie back, so you have Ovechkin back from Oshie, then you likely have something like Johansson, Kuznetsov, we'll get to him in a minute, and Burakovsky, we'll get to him in a minute. So do you need another top six guy? Because Burakovsky, when he was on the first line, doing a hell of a job.
He was, yeah.
So the question is, do you want to bring anybody else in for the top six, knowing that Burakovsky's right there going, hey, guys, see what I just did? I did pretty good those couple of games, except for Game 7, but no one really did anything Game 7 offensively. You know, give me a shot. So I think Burakovsky might be going into next season giving him Williams' spot.
Okay.
Maybe you put Johansson on the right and put Burakovsky on the left with Kuznetsov in the middle. Anyways, next unrestricted, Daniel Winnick. Bye. I know, Brandon, you like his wife.
Yeah.
At $2.25 million, he's gone.
He had no production in the postseason. Unfortunately, I agree with you. Even though he's got awesome dogs and his wife is hot, I guess that's not good reasons to keep him on the team.
Unrestricted Paul Carey. I mean, they might bring him back. He's a minor league guy. Doesn't matter.
He's cheap.
If he's cheap enough, he'll be in Hershey for most of the time. Occasional call up. He's goodbye. Or not. I don't care. Defenseman unrestricted Carl Alsner. I hate to say it. I think he's gone.
I think he's gone as well.
A hell of a raise. I don't think they can afford him. I think they've got some guys in the wings that are not ready quite to be where he's at right now. But between Madison Bowie when he's not doing pot and Sangin Thaler one day and Juice and this Lewington kid that people keep talking about, Tyler Lewington, people keep talking about, I think he's gone. I hate to say it. I think he's going to enjoy Calgary or Toronto, but he's gone.
I think this is another Brooks-like situation. Carl Alsner, he had sports hernia surgery over the summer last year, and I don't think he ever came back from it, honestly. I think he came back a different person. He missed a couple games up against Toronto. What was it, 4 or 5 games? Unfortunately, I think it's another Brooks-like situation. It's a guy that's been with this team for a long time. You really, really like him, but he's not really worth the money he once was. And Brooks-like was the same way. I think Carl Alsner is going to be let go due to the fact that he's not Carl Alsner anymore.
I mean, he's 28, but he's going to cost a ton.
Yeah.
No, I know. That's my point. My point is he's 28, so it's definitely like he's right there in his prime for a defenseman. But I agree with you. When he talked about how the hernia surgery really – or the whatever the injury is was really affecting him this season, I think the Caps are going to look to go with Orloff and Schmidt next season with Niskanen and Carlson and – God, I hope they find a way to get rid of Orpik. If for any other reason, just because his contract. And just go from there. So, next unrestricted free agent is the deadline deal for Kevin Shattenkirk. I think he's gone. I like Shattenkirk. Nope. I want him on this team.
Nope.
I think he's going to be too expensive. And I also think because he's from New Rochelle, New York, where my grandfather lives and where my mom's from, I think he's gone. I think he's going to the Rangers. I think the Rangers are also going to retool, and he's going to go there. And he is going to make bank.
That's fine. I was not happy with Shattenkirk at all throughout the regular season and the postseason.
Give him a chance to develop into the system, he would have been fine.
Maybe, but too little too late. You're a veteran. You're a professional. You should have been able to do that a little bit quicker. See you later, buddy. Not a fan.
And the last unrestricted free agent is Tom Gilbert. I'm just kidding. They acquired him for like nothing and never played him, and then he got hurt, and it didn't matter. Restricted free agents, Kuznetsov, he's coming back. He's going to cost a lot. I think he gets a long-term 6, 7, 8-year deal. somewhere between 5 and 6 mil a year is my guess. He's at 3 million for this past season.
Okay.
There's no chance they let this kid go.
So with him being a restricted agent, it doesn't have to happen this offseason, but to lock him up.
Oh, they're going
to
sign him to a long-term deal because he's only getting better.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 24. He's already got a ton of years of experience between the NHL and the KHL. You lock him up now before he gets even more expensive. You lock him up somewhere between 5 and 6 mil if you can. 6, 7, 8 year deal.
Now, let me ask you this. This is a long shot, and this is kind of a silly question, but I do want to ask it. With him being a restricted free agent, we've seen Russians, quote-unquote, retire.
And then, no, he's not pulling Ilya Kovalchuk, who's coming back, by the way.
He is coming back, but let me just...
Watch the Caps go after Kovalchuk. I'll be like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. All right, but let me ask you, I'm not saying to go over to the KHL to play there, but given the NHL's current stance on the Olympics, could we see...
Which, by the way, is not set in stone. Apparently, they're talking.
Of course they are. They're
I'm telling you, man, they're going to go.
I think they are too, but I'm just saying, could we see like a Russian player leave his... If he's like an unrestricted free agent, leave the NHL for a season... To go to the KHL, play in the Olympics, and then come back.
I think we will see that. I don't think it's going to be any of the bigger name players.
Any of the guys like in D.C.?
I think if there was anybody in D.C. that might do that, it would be Orlov. But I don't even think he would do it.
Okay.
I mean, because Kuznetsov, he played in the KHL. He wanted to come to the NHL. He wants to win. And we saw this dude step up in the playoffs in this season. I mean, I believe.
Much better than last year.
Yeah. I mean, he was phenomenal. No, I don't think he's going anywhere. Because Kuznetsov, they'll sign. Long-term deal. Lots of money. No question about that one. Next one's Burakovsky. Some people want him signed to a long-term deal. I think he's getting he gets a bridge deal until he's closer to his unrestricted years. He's only 22. Okay. My guess, 2-3 year deal. He'll get like a Johansson type thing. Somewhere probably closer to $3 million. Probably maybe at $3 million. And then 3 years, $3 mil, something like that. 4 years, $3 mil. And then once that's close to being over, if he's really stepped up, then they sign him to a long-term deal.
I can agree with that.
Next one's Brett Connolly. See you later.
Didn't even get to play half of the series against the Penguins. Yeah, so he's definitely gone.
If he's cheap, maybe.
If he can go down to the AHL level, sure.
No. I think he plays on the NHL team, but you need to see more from him. I think there's a chance because they have a bunch of other guys leaving that they may look to re-sign him, but it's got to be cheap.
I mean,
he played very well in the regular season.
It'd be cheaper to bring up a Hershey Bear right now.
Yeah, but will he play as well in the regular season? We got to get to the playoffs to have a chance to win in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, other restricted free agents, Dmitry Orlov, I think they signed him to a long-term deal, or at least a long-ish. Probably maybe no more than 5 or 6. I don't know.
And talking about like long-term deals and everything on certain players could be a completely moot point because they can't do anything until after the expansion draft, right, with the Vegas Knights.
Well, that's true, but we all know who they're going to take, so it doesn't even matter.
Everyone's pointing
at Philip. They're taking Grubauer. It makes no sense for them taking it. I would love it if they somehow took Orpik.
They're never going to do that.
There is some thoughts that, like, maybe they would take Schmidt.
I was thinking maybe Orlov.
No, I think the Caps are going to protect Niskanen, Carlson, and Orlov.
Okay.
They're letting Alzner go. Who would you protect? They're going to protect, you know, what is it, the 8 forwards, 3 defensemen, and a goalie. So it's Holpe. The defensemen are going to be Niskanen, Carlson, and I have to imagine Orlov. Who would you protect in that case? You're going to protect Schmidt?
After his showing in the postseason, I think I would. And I've not been a big fan of Nate Schmidt throughout the regular season. And when they started benching him, I'm like, yeah, unfortunately, I agreed with you at the time. He's the 7th best guy here. And no, he wasn't. He was way better.
He played well. No, I don't. But I don't think their stupid name team in Vegas. I don't think they take him. I think it's going to be Orlov protected. I think they take Grubauer. And, you know, there's talks about how teams will make behind-the-scenes deals with McPhee out there and be like, if you don't take this guy, we'll make you we'll send you a draft pick or something. So no, I think it's Grubauer going. If they lost Schmidt, Jesus, now they have like nobody left. Especially if they either. I mean, there's talk about, and this is just from people on Twitter saying that they should buy out Orpik.
Can they do that?
If you can buy somebody out, but it's gonna have dead cap space. And if I used cap friendly correctly, buying out Orpik. Wait, hold on. It leaves you with dead cap space. How do you do this? Oh, okay. It leaves you with dead cap space of $2.5 million next season and the year after that, and then 2 years of $1.5 million. So you can do that, or you can have cap space, which is essentially dead cap space because you're not doing anything, $5.5 million for the next two seasons. So do you want to free up an additional $3 million for the next two and then just have – you know, dead space at 1.5 for the two after that. I don't know. If you can't trade them, it's definitely worth looking into.
Yeah.
Although I think if they lose Schmidt, then they kind of rethink that a little bit. But no, I think we're definitely going to have. Oh, and the other restricted free agent is Philip Grubauer, but he's going to Vegas, so it's fine.
Man, I do not.
There's a lot. It's a lot with the players, and they have guys in the minors. I mean, you're going to see guys like Vrana come up, and I think he's going to be with the team full time next season. Riley Barber, I think, will get a strong look. Nathan Walker will get a look for a bottom six role. So will Travis Boyd. And I think you could see guys like Bowie, Juice, and Lewington get a real shot to make this team. I mean, right now, let's say theoretically to buy out Orpik, and Shattenkirk and Alsner go. Chorney's around, but he's the seventh best defenseman. You're going to have Niskanen and Carlson. You're going to have Orlov and Schmidt. You have two spots. They'll probably sign a free agent with what little money they have left.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Chorney or one of the young guys. And my guess is they want to give one of the young guys an opportunity to see what they may have there. I mean, Juice is 22. Bowie, I can't find this thing. He's 22. Lewington, these guys are all 22. They're all very young. So there's definitely an opportunity for all of these guys to come up and make a name for themselves. This team is not going to be as good as they were this past season. But who cares about winning the President's Trophy? It doesn't matter. It's about getting into the playoffs, and then anything can happen there.
That President's Trophy is more of a curse anyway. Why do we keep winning it?
That sort of seems to be for this freaking team.
Well.
Yep.
Have we covered everything in Caps World?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we're going to talk about it in the next couple of the shows that we have. You know, we'll have what? Probably a show next week, and we'll do a wrap-up at some point.
Yeah.
We'll talk at some point over the summer after the draft and when free agency opens and see what moves they make.
Maybe I can get angry about FanFest again.
Yeah, Brandon's going to get real mad. Have they talked about FanFest yet?
No. I think they had other things planned at this point in the year.
Like, damn it!
Let's let all the fans calm down first.
We didn't think we were going to be free, have all this free time. So, that sucks. Awkward. I mean, we still have a couple of shows left before, you know, the end of the year, per se, or the end of the season.
Before we take our normal break.
Yeah, before we go on our off season. Maybe Brandon goes and signs a free agent. I get fired from my role. And we'll have to do a recap next week or the week after with our buddy Ryan Drury.
That's right. We'll have to talk to him a little bit. And,
he'll come on here and just start yelling.
You talk about guys that are angry. You see his tweets. That is angry dude.
He's less than pleased.
Yeah.
With the way things ended. No, I mean,
He's the angriest Canadian that I know. You know, he was like.
The only angry Canadian.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's shaking
Except
his fist
at people. Except when Crosby gets hurt. And they're like, how could you allow that to happen? No, I mean, part of me is excited to see what this team looks like next season. A lot of the young guys, it's going to be fun to watch them and see them get better. It kind of reminds me of the days when, like, Fleischman came up and Johansson and Burakovsky joined the team. And a lot of the young guys, you're like, oh, let's see how these guys do. And they have some real promising players. And, like,
this is a solid Hershey Bears team.
Hey, they just won tonight.
There you go.
They got outshot by, like, 30 and won game three. So they're up 2-1 in their series. So, I mean, there's a lot of good young guys that are going to get a real strong look next season. The question is, who's going to be the coaches looking at him? Who will the coaches be looking at him? That made more sense.
It's just like a world of limbo.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, if we've covered everything in Caps World, unfortunately, with another loss to the Penguins in the postseason, and potentially the last time we see a lot of players in Caps jerseys. I guess we can move on at this point.
Not really, though. Like, how many of these guys were long-term guys? Oshie was here for, what, 2 years? Williams for two? I think. Winnick, two. Not even.
No, Winnick was, like, yeah, a year and a half.
Burakovsky will be back. Carey, no one else does. Connolly, if he's back, was only here for a year. Alsner is really, like, Shattenkirk was here for a couple of months. Alsner is really the big one. You're like, this is a guy that's – I mean, I remember when they drafted him. So that one's the one where you're like, okay, you know, that's a guy that was on his team for a long time, like, you know, Brooks Like or Matt Bradley or any one of those guys that they let go.
Aw, Matt Bradley.
Professor Bradley.
TJ Oshie is the biggest question mark for me because
I think they work real hard to bring him back.
He's the guy with the potential, the most talent, I want to say, to re-sign, but I don't know how you work out him and Kuznetsov. I would love them to figure it out, and if they do, congratulations, you are better than me in this business. That's
you
why
you can. You just got to make some moves.
I just don't know how they do it. I don't. It's, you know, I'll let them figure it out, but I don't know how you keep both. But we'll let them figure that out, and we'll talk about it later.
I mean, there's other guys that are out there that are just not as necessarily talented. But the concern is, I mean, he's 30 years old. He's coming off his best season, but or one of his best seasons. But we've seen guys as they get a little older, they start the production starts to go down, and so it's a really big question mark. Do you really want to throw that kind of money that he's likely going to command between $5 and $6 million, if not more, likely more, for a guy whose production won't be that high towards the end of that contract?
We'll see what they do. We'll see what they do. But that's it for Caps World. Our last Caps World for a little bit, because the next couple shows will just be news shows, really, and opinionated shows. But that's it for Caps World. we're going to take a quick break and go down on the farm. But before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, Caps aren't playing, but the Bears and Stingrays, they're staying busy. What's going on down on the farm?
Well, Hershey just won tonight in overtime, if I saw correctly, a goal from Chris Borg, which is awesome. They actually went up 2-1 in their Atlantic Division final against Providence. So they have a nice lead there. Games 4 and 5 are in Providence starting on Friday and Saturday, with games 6 and 7, if necessary, in Hershey on Tuesday and Wednesday. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays are on to the Eastern Conference Finals for the third year in a row, Brandon.
All right.
That they've made that after defeating Florida in 5 games. This is the same Florida team that ran away, or maybe skated away, speed skated away, with that South Division. South Carolina knocked them out in 5 games. They're going to take on Manchester to represent the East in the Kelly Cup Finals. The ECHL is a little strange, though. Games 1 through 3 are in South Carolina, while games 4 through 7 are in Manchester. What?
Okay.
Now I get it. Traveling is a little more difficult than minors, so I guess it makes sense, but still had me a little confused when I was reading it. Eastern Conference Finals start on Friday with Game 2 on Saturday and Game 3 on Monday. Like I said, all of those will be at the North Charleston Coliseum. That's what's going on down to the farm.
All right. Well, the Caps, unfortunately, are done. The Bears and Stingrays staying busy doing their thing. Chris Bork, hero of Game 3. For the Hershey Bears. That's it for Down on the Farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, well, the Stanley Cup, they're continuing. They're going. They're moving along. Plenty of stuff's going on around the NHL. Coach Dan, what is going on? Give us some news.
Well, before we catch up on the conference finals, let's stop off in Buffalo, where they named Jason Botterill as the new general manager. Botterill was the Penguins' associate GM and was really highly thought of in a lot of NHL circles, so I'm very surprised. This was the guy that was supposed to take over as a new Penguins general manager when Rutherford stepped aside. So this, I feel like, is a very good move by the Buffalo Sabres.
So was there news of Rutherford? Is that what you said? The GM for Pittsburgh?
Penguins.
Was there any news that he was going to step down soon?
Well, he retired, quote-unquote, or resigned or whatever it was from his job, long-term gig in Carolina. And everyone's like, oh, okay, he's done. He turned it over to, I want to say Ron Francis, but I don't remember if that's correctly. And he was like, oh, he's got, and then suddenly he just like jumped ship and went to the Penguins. And the thought was like, he was going to sort of keep an eye on Botterill and mentor him until he was ready to take over. And then now he's moved on to the Sabres.
Interesting. Okay.
So I was surprised. Huh. In other news, the NHL announced that the next Winter Classic, and I could not be less interested. It's so lame. It's going to be the Battle of New York, excluding the Islanders, as the Sabres will travel to Citi Field to take on the Mets. I mean Rangers. This is so – I don't understand. It's 10 years, I think, since the last one. I mean, since the last one. Since the first one.
So they really should have done like Buffalo-Pittsburgh.
Yeah, except for Pittsburgh's already been in like three.
Well, yeah, but everybody loves Pittsburgh. Just ask Pierre.
Yeah.
I don't really care about that Winter Classic.
Buffalo Rangers. I don't really care.
There's not even a rivalry there. That's just the tale of New York.
If it was like Rangers Islanders, that would have been more interesting.
Yeah.
Nope, they botched this one again. It's the NHL. Not surprised. Anyways, Dallas acquired goalie Ben Bishop from LA for a fourth round pick. Chicago signed forward Richard Panik to a 2-year deal. Nashville signed Nashville defenseman PK Subban was fined $2,000 for diving / embellishment. I'll bet Mike Milbury would have preferred he got fined for dancing. I don't know if you saw that bit.
I did.
He was whining. Mike Milbury, what an idiot. Let's move on to the conference finals, where we will see Nashville and Forsberg, god damn it, take on Anaheim, which was surprising. I really thought Edmonton was going to win that series. While over in the East, we'll see Ottawa take on the freaking Penguins. God damn it. That's the news for the past week in the NHL.
Do you want to talk about who you think is going to go, who's going to win that round? Who's going to be in the finals?
Oh, man. Nashville, and I'm hoping for Ottawa.
I'm the same. I got the same, yeah. I think the Pittsburgh Penguins, yes, they've done everything they can, but they're pretty beat up. Don't know how they keep going.
I got to imagine Ottawa doesn't choke like the Caps did.
Would be nice. But Nashville looks unstoppable. And they just looked absolutely fantastic in the last two series. So I'm going for Nashville. I hope that they can pull it off.
Of course, Forsberg may have the chance to win a cup before Ovechkin.
Yeah, so that would include...
Thanks, McPhee.
Jeff Schultz, Steven Alexi, and Eric Fair all have their name on the cup before Alex Ovechkin.
I think it's perfectly fine that Eric Fair would have his name on the cup. That dude actually was a good NHL player. He was good for the Caps. He wasn't quite as productive at the end and was going to be a little pricey in any of the cap space. The other guys, Schultz didn't really play. Screw that guy. He's an idiot. He's a traffic cone. And Forsberg is another one where it's just like, damn you, McPhee, idiot.
Every time. Man, if Nashville wins the cup, I just can see every single Caps player on Twitter just screaming at the top of their lungs, Forsberg!
I know. People have had posts about it, and I think Russian Machine did a thing at one point where they're like, if the Caps had kept Forsberg, then they never would have had Oshie and this and that. And I was like, I guess, but... Man, what could have been? And McPhee still would have been the general manager, which I still think he would have been gone by this point. But, man, that kid would have looked real nice on this Caps team, let me tell you.
All right. Well,
damn you, McPhee.
I know. Is that everything? Have we covered everything in this depressing What the Puck show?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm going to go become a Vancouver Canucks fan.
at least then you're going to be disappointed.
I like their jerseys, though.
I like Vancouver, but
oh, the great city. The jerseys are weird though.
This sucks. I really did not think mid-May we would be ending our coverage of Caps hockey And yeah, we'll be back and we'll do our What the Puckies and our season in review. And
oh, God, I got to go figure out what those are again.
Yeah, we got to figure all that stuff out. But I definitely didn't think this year it was going to be this early. So that really sucks. But let us know how you're grieving. Tweet to us. Keep the conversation
going.
Except
for Ryan. He's just yelling at us.
Yeah, he's just screaming at us right now. but definitely tweet to us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Let us know what you're doing, how you're doing. What do normal people do on the like weeknights? What do they watch on TV?
Dude, I got so many shows.
I know.
That's the one benefit of not having a team in the playoffs anymore. I can finally catch up on shows like Doctor Who.
I'm 6 episodes into Luke Cage. I still got to see Iron Fist. I've heard Iron Fist is not that good.
I never even watched Daredevil.
Second season sucked. I can't stand Elektra. Horrible actress. Sorry, everyone who's a fake fan out there, but couldn't stand it. Jessica Jones was awesome, though. That was my favorite Marvel Netflix show so far. But I'm 6 episodes into Luke Cage. I'm going to continue to watch that. The Flash, got to finish that up. I'm like 4 or 5 episodes behind on that. I haven't even started Better Call Saul of the new season. I had a lot of TV to watch. Yeah, no hockey, no Walking Dead. I can watch the Orioles, I guess. I can do that.
Yeah, Matt Wieters.
He's a National.
Yeah, so I know, and he had the walk-off.
Yeah. Yeah. But
Brandon's had enough of me right now.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so if you want to continue the conversation, you can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, where I am making all sorts of dumb comments about the Capitals and where things may go next season, as well as watching Arsenal Football Club make things interesting at the end of the season, and watch as the Redskins don't sign Kirk Cousins to a long-term deal and bottle that one up. Bloody hell. Ah, the life of a DC sportsman. Arsenal's not even DC, but apparently I just find teams like to piss me off. That's at WTP Coach. And hopefully if I get around to it, I start writing a new piece for Capitals Outsider about this offseason. What the hell are they going to do? We also have all sorts of bobblehead news. Brandon, do we know about any bobbleheads for next season?
Of course we don't. We don't know anything. But
Better question. Who is going to have a bobblehead next season? Give me one player you think will have one. Okay, you're thinking way too hard about this.
Joe Beninani. Joe B.
Dude, honestly, you joke, but like, how have they not done that yet?
I think Joe B should get
one. I am 100% serious right now. Like, how have they not done one with Beninani or Lachlan?
Alan May has one, doesn't he? I think he does. I mean, they got to bring up...
Hey, Brandon, you know how you can find out that information? Ooh. Go ahead, head over to CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment and What the Puck. Go over, support us on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at What the Puck Pod. So now, we've said it before in this episode, our shows are going to become a little more sporadic than they were in this regular season in the playoffs, which they were kind of sporadic this year in the season.
Yeah, it'd be sporadic like the way the Capitals played.
Right. So the best way to find out when we have a new show coming out is to go give us a like on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you will be the first to know. You'll be in the know of what's going on with the Caps and when we'll be doing a show. So make sure you go check us out there. Write us an iTunes review. Kind of, you know, we do the show for free and you listen, stream, and download for free. So go to iTunes, write us a review, tell everybody, all your friends about how great we are and how hilarious we are and how we give you such great content about the Capitals. We know this season that there's been a lot of competition out there with Caps Podcast. And thank you so much for sticking with us and listening to a couple guys just ramble on about the team that we love. So let people
I don't know about that anymore.
Loved with a D at the end.
Kind
of. Yeah, kind of somewhat enjoy a little bit, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Brandon, I might be able to figure out how to bring back Oshie. I'm playing with Cap Friendly, and I may be able to pull this off.
Okay. All right. That's good to hear. It's a good tease for next week.
Yeah. I might do it, guys.
But let all your friends know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm still a Caps fan. I'm still rocking the red. I'm listening to What the Puck. They're helping me get through my post Stanley Cup playoffs depression, and they can help you out too. So I think that's pretty much it for the show. This is usually the part where I tell you when the games are, but we don't have any to promote there.
Too soon, buddy. Too soon.
So that's pretty much it. Let me just say this, too. If you are on Twitter and you think mocking a coach or a player's family member for a disability they have and you want to blame that for why the Caps lost, you are a douchebag.
Whoa. What are you talking about?
There's a certain person on Twitter who I will not put out there as a name.
Who is it?
And you know, when the Caps
being bad,
when the Caps lose, it is not due to a family member of the team's a mental disability, and that is not funny.
Somebody's about to get smacked by me.
That's not funny, and if you think that's comedy, you're a terrible person. Because when somebody says, "Hey, that's really rude," and you say, "Ah, come on, lighten up, it's a joke," it's not a joke, and you're actually being not funny. It's not. You're not a comedian. You just suck. So don't do that. Okay. Be a good person on Twitter, and don't do that kind of crap. So that's my PSA for the moment.
You're not wrong, dude. Brandon, I did it.
What did you do?
Why is Carlson only making that much money? That can't be right.
You took away Carlson's money to give it to TJ Oshie. He's gonna be pissed.
No. Sorry, I got really confused. All right, I did it though. I was able to keep Oshie on the team. I didn't bring anybody else back. Everybody go away. We just love Oshie. So my lineup. Okay, we've gotten completely off track for the end of the show here. But I got Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie, Burakovsky, Kuznetsov, Johansson, Vrana, Eller, Wilson. It probably won't be with like this. Boyd, Beagle, Barber. Ah, the 3Bs line. I like that one. That's kind of fun. Carlson, Niskanen, Orlov, Schmidt. And then I got Lewington and Scuderi. I just picked a random free agent guy who, you know, a one-year deal for like $2 million. And then you have Holtby and Copley. And I still have $1 million and change in cap space. It's not ideal, but I was able to do it. And now Oshie at $6 million, because that's off at 5.5. Burakovsky at 3. I figure he's going to get the same deal Kuznetsov got before, and Kuznetsov was on $3 million, so I'm assuming it's going to be relatively the same. And then I have – who else did I bring back? Schmidt at 1.25, Orlov at 4, and Copley at 750,000. Brandon, I did it!
Thank you so much.
And Scuderi too much. Guys, she's coming back. Oh, and I bought out Orpik. So that's $2.5 million in dead cap space. Be great if they could trade him, because then you have $2.5 million. And I forgot to mention this. I've raised the cap ceiling up to $75 million. Wait, no, I didn't. I thought I did. It didn't do it. I'm still at 73. Oh, yeah. All right, so I pulled it off. So that's with that. It's $1 million in cap space, and they haven't raised the cap yet. And I believe it's going to be raised. So it's possible to bring back TJ Oshie. He's just the only freaking dude you're going to be bringing back of the unrestricted guys. But that's very likely. Honestly, this is what I think is going to happen. You buy out Orpik, Niskanen, Carlson, Orlov, Schmidt come back. You bring up a young guy, and you sign a guy at the end of his career to a one-year deal who can mentor and play with the young guy. It's not uncommon.
All right, we'll see.
Well, yeah, I mean, nothing else to do. And if Boyd doesn't work out or Barber, you got Nathan Walker, I re-signed, so it's going to be fun, man.
All right.
We'll see how it goes. It could be Lewington or Bowie. Oh, Bowie's a little more expensive, but the point is, it's possible.
All right. Well, that's the end of this season. Thank you all so much for listening. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Sens.
Well played. Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman, voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.